Amen. If you're taking notes, what we're going to talk about, the title of this is The Design of Life. The Design of Life. And we can start by looking at Genesis chapter 3. God, everything is by design. We must understand. You know, that is one of our chief arguments against those who believe that there is no God and that we are, everything here just happened. Well, there's a design. There's a design in the planets, you know, in the sky. The design is how the planets rotate, how everything moves. And if there is a design, then we know there has to be a designer, right? It just, you know, you just can't, it's like, okay, to believe what some people believe, you have to believe that a tornado can go through a junkyard and you have the Eiffel Tower built. It just doesn't happen. You know, there was a designer to the Eiffel Tower. There was a designer to Lady Liberty. There's a designer in this earth. The trees grow. They're designed to grow. Every species after its own kind. You know, you got your oak trees and your maple trees and your birch trees and your pine trees, and they grow after their own kind. It's a design, and they're all shaped differently. The maple flowers or maple leaves, one year doesn't look one way, and then the next year look another way. They're consistent. It's a design. That's how God has designed it. God is the designer, and he's designed our life. Amen? Now, when I say our life, I'm talking about not our walk with God, okay, but this life in this world is by design. Follow me. Genesis chapter 3. We know what happened, what's transpired. Adam and Eve, they took of the fruit that God said not to do. But I want to start in verse 17. God has confronted them. What did you do? And so now God is going to bear out the consequences. Now, when God speaks, understand that God always speaks from the perspective of eternity. Because God is an eternal God. And so he has to speak from eternity. He doesn't speak concerning the earthly. Like Jesus said, the words that I speak are spirit and life. He was here on this earth, but he said, but my words are spirit and life. So they're not just ordinary words. And so when God speaks, it's just not ordinary. But listen to what God said. In verse 17, he says unto Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and also thistles shall bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So, what we have to see here is, what was God really, really, really saying? Because there's so much more to God's words when he says something. So, if we can look at from God's perspective, okay, he said, because you didn't do what I told you to do. You see, up until the time that they ate of the tree, what was life like?
Perfect.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Give me some other adjectives.
Without sin.
How about blissful? Mm-hmm. you know, without any animosity, without problems. It was, yeah, perfect. It was, I mean, those are hard things to imagine. But yet, that's the way it was. Then they ate, all right? And all of a sudden, things changed. So God said to him, because you did what I commanded you, say not to do, cursed is the ground for your sake. Now, but that wasn't just for Adam's lifetime. The ground is now cursed. Think about it. Those are eternal words. It wasn't until Adam died then everything was going to go back to normal. The ground is cursed now. There were more than physical ramifications. There were also spiritual ramifications. If you open up your Bible to Romans, well, 1 Corinthians. chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There were a lot of things that took place because of that, the fall, because of his failure, because of what he didn't do. First Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll start at, look at verse 20. Now, is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept? For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So not only did Adam's failure bring a curse upon the ground, but it also had a spiritual effect on the mankind. It introduced death. See, remember, Adam and Eve were not designed to die. They weren't designed to die. But he said, but if you eat, the day that you eat, you surely die. In the Jewish writings, it says, in dying, you shall die. I mean, that means that the process is taking place in your life, and eventually you are going to die. So the curse, the ground was cursed. And man was cursed spiritually. So there's more to these scriptures when we read it. And so the reason I say the design of life is it's God designed it after Adam failed. It's not going to be easy like it was. You had it perfect. You had everything you could ever want. You were the head over everything. You had dominion. You were the ruler. You were the keeper. And all I asked you to do was to not eat of that tree. But because you did, now you lose what you had. And if you remember, if we keep reading, go back to Genesis. They were driven out of the garden. We will see this in verse 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east garden a cherubim with flaming swords. It turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. See, there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then there was the tree of the knowledge, or the tree of life. Why didn't they eat of the tree of life? Interesting. So, to keep them from, you know, going back and, well, you know, we messed up on that one, but there's still another treaty, Ephraim. He put a cherub there to guard the entrance. So God designed. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 14, he said, narrow is the way. So when you think of the word narrow, what do you think of? What words come to your mind? Pardon? Skinny. Like it's a narrow way to fit through.
A narrow path.
Narrow path. It's not the easy way. So if it's not the easy way, it's the hard way. God is the designer of our life. Following God or not following God, as Adam found out, brings a hard way. From the sweat of your brow now, you're going to survive. Where before, it was just, we were in paradise, you know, just floating around. The cool of the day, the Lord comes, hello, Father, how are you? No more. But what Adam didn't realize was the ramifications of everything that took place. Satan gained the keys. Remember when he was tempted by Jesus? He said, I'll show you. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of it. He said, I'll give it to you if you'll bow down and worship me. And he says, because these were given to me, these keys, this authority was given to me, and I can give it to whoever I want. Who did he get that authority from? From Adam. Adam had dominion. And he gave the dominion up. But that's another story. Open to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I tell you, I was reading through this and I'm going, you know, it's the perspectives were very, very interesting. But I want to read verse 14. That whole man, you can start with one and just keep reading. You're going, wow. You see, as we grow in the Lord and as we grow spiritually, we begin to see things a little differently. That's what I appreciate about the Holy Spirit. The Word, that's why the Word never gets old. It shouldn't. It should always be fresh because the Holy Spirit doesn't get stale. I mean, the depth of the wisdom that the Holy Spirit has is beyond understanding. And what we can learn and receive is beyond. It's from glory to glory. But verse 14, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Chasing after the wind. So chasing after the wind could be considered nonsense. It's nonsense. Why? Why is he seeing this? Because he sort of tried to see things, do things on his own. God had given Solomon the wisdom. He was wiser than anybody on the earth. In fact, I believe he probably was wiser than anybody outside of Jesus ever existed. And he had more. And as you read, he says, I accumulated silver. I accumulated gold. Anything I wanted, I got it. I had servants. I had servants in my own, born in my house. And he was just going through, and as you continue to read, there wasn't anything that I seen that I could have, I didn't have. And I sought to understand. I sought to and, but he sort of was changing his wisdom. And that's why he was seeing everything as vexation of spirit, because he began doing things in his own. Giving himself over to wine, giving himself over to women, giving himself, he says, all, as you continue to read, any pleasure there was, he didn't hold it back from them. But it was vexation of spirit. Look at Psalms 39. Psalms 39 and 5 through 6. Behold, how thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely, every man walks in a vain show. Surely, they are disquieted in vain. He heaps up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Vanity. So, as I was pondering this, I was imagining that game show. Let's make a deal. Okay? So you got door number one and door number two. All right? Door number one, if you open it, now these are the things that'll take you through life. And you got money, you know, you got fame, you got glitter, you know, you got pleasure, you got happiness, you know. Or you can choose, now remember, the words that I said was things to get you through life. Door number two, you open it up. You see a worn-out yoke like they put on animals. You see worn-out gloves, you know. You see some working tools. So which would you choose, door number one or door number two? See, the thinking man or woman thinks long-term. The person who is short-sightedness, they don't think down the road, so they're for instant gratification. And that's where a lot of the world is, and that's what the enemy, the devil, was presenting to Jesus. Bow to me, I'll give you all this. See, most people, you know, you've got people like Alexander the Great. You know, you got men like that who they had to fight to conquer. It wasn't just given to them. But Satan presented to Jesus, I'll give it to you. All you got to do is bow to me. Make it easy. And that's what a lot of people are doing nowadays. They're bowing. But you see, what they don't understand is at one time, something's going to come knocking, you owe me. That's the thing about Satan. He'll make you feel good for a while, but there's a day of reckoning, especially people that are dabbling with spirits at one time or another, they're going to turn on you, and they're going to want to kill you. You know why? Well, because their goal was to kill you from the beginning. They just want to entice you to let them in, to let them get close. All the while they're waiting for the day they can kill you. Yes, sir?
How do you spot them?
How do you spot them? Well, to the person who's younger in the Lord, all right, there are things in this world that are natural. Okay, I'll use an example that I've seen many years ago. There was this little girl, little tyke, about Kylie's age. And I seen this little girl throwing the most hellacious temper tantrum I've ever seen. Not only kicking and screaming, but cussing at her mother. And so I said, that is not natural. And if there's something that is being experienced and it's not natural, then it's supernatural. Come to find out that their mother let this little girl wear headphones all day long and just listening to just rock music. And so there was great exposure to unclean spiritual things. Now, to the person that is a little deeper spiritually, you don't have to see outbursts. You can look into a person's eyes. And you can see darkness, right? You can see darkness in people's eyes. You can see, sometimes you can look at people, and this is the Holy Spirit. Somebody will be smiling, you know, and you'll discern by the Spirit of God that isn't who they really are. It's by the Spirit. And so that's why we're talking about the Holy Spirit. That's why we need the Word of God. If you have a pencil, Hebrews 4:12, it says that the Word of God is alive. It's a quicker, sharper than a two-edged sword. And it goes into that it's piercing. It's separating the bones and the marrow, the joints, and the spirit and the soul. And then it has a comma. And then if you can say, and the Word of God, and then is a discerner of the intents of the heart. Jesus said in John 6:63, the words that I speak are spirit and life. So, the design of life, you got the easy way, door number one. Have fun. Door number two. I can remember, you all, I've shared with you my testimony about being alone and putting in this place where I didn't have a friend for a year and a half. And I would walk downtown where they had the city park and the little kids were playing Little League. And I would just go there and I would just sit just to be around people. I didn't know anybody. And I'd just sit, you know. And I'd go there day after day just because I was all by myself. One guy saw me go day after day. And he says to me, can I ask you something? He said, either you really like baseball or you're really bored. Because I've seen you come here day after day, you know. I'd walk home, and I can remember I'd walk by a bar, and the enemy would say, listen, and I'd hear laughing. You know, and they're in there, and the enemy says, they're having a good time in there. Go ahead on in there. Nobody knows who you are. And I'd just say, no, I can't do that. And I'd walk home. It was the hard way. But I want you to open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. Door number one holds a lot of good stuff, a lot of glitz and glamour, okay? But there's darkness behind door number one. Door number two is a hard way, right? The plow, the yoke. But what they don't see and don't understand is that there is grace, there's God behind door number one. Jesus said that wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to what? To life. Hard is the way that leads to life. So, we can either do things God's way, which Adam didn't, and we're all paying for it, or we can do things God's way, and we can have this operating in our life. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to in glory and virtue. Door number 2 has a lot of benefits to it. Door number 1 offers a lot, but door number 1 takes a lot. Anybody who's, you know, you've heard testimonies of people who've wanted to be in the fast lane or wanted to be, you know, entertainment, you know, by a movie star or a rock star or whatever. They offer a lot, but it takes a lot. It takes your dignity. Your virtue. Pardon?
Innocence.
Your innocence. Yes. Why do you think there's so many suicides? Is they can't live with themselves. What a sad state. But as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. That is a good life. Once we begin, okay, yes, it's tough. But once you begin, remember how we talked about grace before, you know, and let's say that your maximum weight that you can lift is 50 pounds, all right? But the Lord says, I want you to lift this 60 pounds. But Lord, you know I can only, my grace is sufficient. So as we attempt to do what he's asked us to do, his grace offsets our weakness. So once we're successful, I can only lift 50 pounds. Now I'd like you to lift 80 pounds. I learned his grace will offset. And so as you start to lift, his grace is there to accomplish what needs to be done. Because now, what is the, follow me in this. What is the main thought in what I've just said?
It works.
Nope. Nope.
We can't, if we feel like we can't do it, to rely on
him. Nope. Pulling us to try. Nope. Close.
Faith.
Nope.
Convenience.
His word said to do it. He said to do it. He would not ask you to do something that you can't do or couldn't be done. Through Christ, we have victory. To him who overcomes, we're asked to do impossible things, but all things are possible to him who believes.
And as we conquer, it refines us.
Yes. See, it's a learning process. But on the onset, I mean, from the very beginning, it's hard. Or in our mind, it's hard. Why? Because of Isaiah 55 in verse 9 through 3:11. My ways are higher than your ways. Your thoughts are not like my thoughts. See, we too many times we look at, and I made this mistake early in my life. I was zealous for the Lord. I was growing in the Lord. And the Lord said to me in school, I was in high school, and there was a guy that had a stubbed arm right here. And the Lord said to me, I want you to go talk to him, and I'm going to heal his arm. He had a stubbed arm. My thoughts were, this is my immaturity, my ignorance. Me? Heal him? I can't do that. God didn't say to do that. All he said was to go and talk to him. And he would do it. Well, I didn't, because I got in the way. But I learned a lesson. I learned a very valuable lesson. It's not about me. So if God says, I'd like you to lift that 100 pounds, and you know that your strength is limited to 50, but you know, because you said it, Lord, it can be done. Remember when Jesus got in the boat with the disciples and he said, let's go to the other side. That was his word. And they got out in the middle and the storms was there. And Jesus knew what should happen. He went down and he just fell asleep like a little baby. He needed a little rest. And the wind started blowing and the waves and it was crashing. And all of a sudden they're, oh, we're going to die, we're going to die. Go get Jesus. He knows what to do. And so they woke up Jesus. Lord, don't you care? But see, what they didn't catch hold of is, oh, so he got up and he rebuked the wind. He said, peace, be still. And he says to his disciples, oh, you of little faith. What were they not believing in? His word. I said, let's go to the other side. And in fact, it's a funny thing. We were over at Don and Janelle's and Moana was on. And so she's out on her journey and her boat crashes, flips over in the middle of the sea. And she calls for the sea to help her. So what does the sea do? It brings a storm. Breaks everything apart, you know, in waves and stuff. But she's where she's supposed to be. But so Jesus rebuked the wind, so there was no more wind. The wind was designed to take them where they needed to go. So guess how they got to go to the other side? Okay, guys. Let's go to the other side. But he said, oh, you of little faith. So if we can grasp hold of being willing, Lord, because you said it, I know it can be. And now, because you said it, it's not on me. All we have to do is just be like a marionette. Okay, Lord, you lead me. That's how this whole Africa thing took place. In the mid to late 90s, 96 maybe, the Lord spoke to me, I want you to go to Africa. I said, okay, my first response. But Lord, you have to work it out. 2 years later, in 1998, I hadn't even begun seeking the Lord about it. I had a commitment that I was keeping and helping to start a church. And where I was working, here in my office, comes a pastor from Africa, Pastor Robert. Introduced to me. And I said, wow. Before I even had a chance to pray and seek the Lord about it. But I did ask the Lord. I said, Lord, you have to work it out. And he did. We got to be friends. He says, I believe you need to come to Africa. I says, yes, I do. And we planned it. And my first trip was hard. You heard the testimony about a witch doctor that tried to kill me. But I trusted in him. He prepared me. And I knew I was supposed to go. And remember we were sharing the words of this song here a while back, Keaton? He didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. He didn't build a home in us to move away. He didn't lift us up to let us down. So I knew, because it was God's will, that nothing could happen as long as I'm following. It wasn't the me. He organized it. He planned it out. He timed it. So when he gives you a word, okay, all you got to do is just say, yes, Lord, and he'll make it happen.
I have a little testimony to share, if that's okay.
Okay, let me finish this, okay, because I'm recording this.
Oh, yeah.
And they might not hear. So, as his divine nature, his design nature has given unto us through door number two, because narrow is the way, is hard, given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue. So he'll call you. He's behind that yoke. He's behind the plow. He's behind the worn out gloves to produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness in your life. But he'll produce it. And last scripture, if you want to write this down, and we'll close, is John 10:10. Can anybody quote that?
The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and I have come to give you life abundantly full.
I am come to give you life abundantly full. And remember, when we looked up that word abundantly, abundant in the Greek, anybody remember what that meant? If somebody wants to look that up with your e-sword. There you go. Superior in quality. And there was another word that was like superior in quantity. Abundant life. But it's his way. He said to Adam, because you didn't do it my way, now you're under a curse. And not only are you under a curse, but you've introduced a curse into the world. But that curse was for our benefit, because now we can enjoy the blessing of Christ. So I don't think we should thank God for Adam with doing that, but thank God for, okay, the design of life. He's designed it. Father, we bless you, and we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Great is your faithfulness. Continue to teach us your ways, Lord, so we can walk in them. Continue to allow our faith to be built stronger, Lord, so that we can live like in your word says in Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it's impossible to please God. But Lord, we do believe you. We do have faith, and we want to be pleasing. We just purpose to serve you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.